so much, Avril. Do sit down. Losing my first page, it's all right. Be one short. So today we've got another parable about vineyards. I think vineyards were the big employer in the day of Jesus. I was trying to think what would be the big employer today. I decided probably Amazon deliveries, because it seems to be what everybody's having, doesn't it? We've got two sons here. The first son was disobedient and rebellious. He wanted to do his thing his way. But later on, he repented and then went to the vineyard as his father had originally asked him. And then you've got son two. He said what his father wanted to hear, but actually it was token obedience. He didn't actually do it, did he? So what would have been the best case scenario? Well, obviously it would have been that the father asked and the son immediately went and did what he was asked. When God asks us to do something, do we immediately say yes and head off in the right direction? I think more often we act like one or other of those two sons. Oh, I haven't got my tablet. Hang on. Having remembered to upload my pictures this week, I need to show you the benefit of them. So, look at these shoes. As a parent of a child, I can identify with these two perspectives. So, son one, none of us like to be told what to do. We like to make our own decisions, and we especially hate it when our parents tell us what to do, and we don't like to admit that they might be right about something. I remember as a teenager, I was going into sixth form where we were going to be able to wear our own clothes and, more importantly, our own shoes, no longer school regulation shoes. So I was about 16 and we went shopping. I went shopping over the summer holidays with my mum. And I was determined that anything she liked, I would not like. So I ended up with these shoes that were so high, I could hardly walk in them. And I had to walk from home to the station, then from the station to my school, and then in reverse on the way home, and I lived up a steep hill. And I had to walk around school all day, so my feet were in absolute agony, and that was the price I paid for being a rebellious teenager. And I was thinking about my own children when they were teenagers. If I asked them to do something, I was much more likely to get a response, a positive response, if I asked them in a certain way and they felt like they were really doing me a favour. So, for example, walking the dog. If I said, could you walk the dog tonight? They would probably say no, especially my sons. But if I said, oh, I've got this really busy day and I'm seeing some bit of counselling and I've got to take so-and-so to this place and I've got to do this and I don't know if there's any chance that you could possibly help me. They'd be like, oh yeah, mum, we could walk Sam for you. So it's often the way we put it, but there is that desire not to be controlled, isn't there? So like someone, we often feel that it's not what we want to do. It isn't the time we're wanting to do something, or we don't have the right gifts and skills, so we say no. Or we could be like son two. We're wanting to be seen doing the right thing to earn favour. So we say yes, but then we never quite get round to it. Or if we do it, we do it very quickly in a kind of half-hearted way, not really giving it our all. So who do the two sons represent in this parable? Well, son one represents the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners. And son two represents the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus is saying to the scribes and Pharisees, you are those who think you do the right thing, you follow the laws of Moses, you live by the regulations of God, but actually you don't live out your lives. Like son two, you don't really actually live out your whole lives in the way that you should do. You look down on the tax collectors and the prostitutes who live ungodly lives. But Jesus said, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. These people start off wanting to do their own thing, but then they encounter Jesus, they repent, they turn around, and actually they enter the kingdom of God ahead of the others. So what about us? This can be an uncomfortable parable, I think, for us. We are Christians, we go along to church regularly, we read our Bibles, but do we always live our daily lives in line with the way that Jesus would want us to? Or are we a bit like Sun Tzu? We say the right thing, but we don't always necessarily do it. One of the criticisms levelled most often at the church over the years is that it's hypocritical. It says one thing but does another. And I think the Church of England has been very aware of this and really trying hard to address it. We know that the whole area of abuse and historic abuse that's been covered up has been a really massive area. And now there's this huge drive for safeguarding and improving our systems. As Hillary, who is our safeguarding officer, will attest to, she does hundreds of meetings and there's all these regulations that we have to implement. But I know that we all agree that it's for the right thing. It's because we want to be in line. We want to be a safe place. We want to do things right. And then, of course, there's another big area, which is equality. Racial equality, sexual equality. Everyone really being welcomed and being shown God's love in practice as well as by word. In the new year, we're going to be running a course called Living in Love and Faith. It's been put together by the Church of England, and we've been asked, all parishes have been asked to do it in Oxford. And we're actually going to be running it in January, from the 4th of January for 5 weeks, in conjunction with Huendon Church. So Liz has been along representing us to our seminars so that we know how to do it. And basically the course is about learning about sexuality and relationships and marriage. And this is an area where the church has been very divided. But this course has been put together by a group of people representing all different views and opinions. And it's constructed in a way that enables everybody to go along to hear those different opinions and to wrestle with it on their own, at their own part, and to make decisions. And I think so often we go along expecting we're going to be told the answer on something. But actually, the longer I'm a Christian, the more things I wrestle with and the more I need to look at things, to read Bible passages and to work out what I think for myself. And that's exactly what that course enables us to do. And I think it's another step in the Church of England's attempt to try and make us more thinking people and more accepting people. So there'll be more details coming about that in the months to come, but I thought I should give you a heads up on that today. And as a church body, we know that these are big areas to grapple with, but also as individuals, there are so many areas in our lives where it's very easy to slip up, isn't it, without meaning to. We can end up doing things that aren't honouring to God, and we've talked about that in the past. It could be what we watch on television, it could be swearing, it could be drinking too much, having road rage, like I mentioned the other week, when somebody goes out, you know, out the outside and cuts in at the last minute. We saw that yesterday. We got caught in a very long queue yesterday on the M25. And there are people who cut in at the last minute, you know, and you're feeling very frustrated about that. So the thing is that other people notice. They know we go to church, and they notice if what we're saying isn't congruent with the way that we live our lives. It matters. And people are much quicker, aren't they, to pick us up on things. I think that's a challenge for us, living our lives to that higher standard, because people see something in us. Psalm 25 that Phil read says, "Show me your ways, Lord, teach me your paths." And this is a prayer that we need to be constantly praying. And then we can hold on to the fact it says in verse 8 and 9, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." When we live in humility and lay ourselves open before God, he will show us the things that we should be doing. He'll show us the way that we should be walking. And of course, when we come to repentance, when we recognise we've done something wrong, he loves to forgive us. That's why Jesus came to die for us, because God knew that we were always going to keep messing up and getting things wrong. But he's made a way for us to come anytime to say sorry and to know that God will freely forgive us and welcome us. And that's just like he did with Son 1, with those the sinners, the different people that repented. God welcomed them, and it's the same with us, if for big sins or for little tiny things that we do wrong. The challenge for us is to be the best of both sons, isn't it? To be quick to listen to our Heavenly Father and quick to follow what he's asking us to do. So let's just have some time of quiet now as we think about that. Father God, we want to be those who live out our whole lives in following you, both in the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we behave. We want to be those that people can see your love shining through. Just in a moment of quiet now, do you just bring to God anything, any area of your life where you think, actually, maybe this isn't quite the way I want it to be? Just bring that to God now in the quiet and ask him to forgive you and help you to get back on that path again. Father, thank you that you are always so quick to forgive us, that you love us completely. Help us to love you completely too. Amen.